the book of Exodus chapter 11. The book of Exodus chapter 11. Amen. And of course, remember, we have our fifth Sunday singing tonight. And keep in mind as well that I know the holiday season are coming. It's going to get busy. Amen. I always encourage folks when it comes to the holiday season. It's mighty funny. Folks say it gets busy at holidays. It seems like it's been a busy summer too, hasn't it? It always seems to be busy. But remember, that's coming up. Let's be a bit prayerful and ask God just to give us protection, keep His hand on us. And I'll be praying for your family. And please be doing the same for me as well. Amen. The book of Exodus chapter 11. And I hadn't used this Bible in a while, and there's a sticky note over chapter 11, so I had to get that off there. I hadn't used this one in a while, but I would definitely have been reading it there at the house. But chapter 11, the book of Exodus, I want to read this whole chapter to you. It's not a lot of verses, but I want to show you some things I feel like God has laid in my heart for our church. And this is going to be a message just to all of us, but concerning the day in which we live. I think we all can agree we're living in a very living in perilous times. Amen. I know I've shared this with you, but that word perilous there is even tied to where Jesus came to the land of the Gadarenes. And it said that that man that was demon possessed came down running and he was exceedingly fierce. It's the same word that's used there. We're living in exceedingly fierce times. We are. Amen. And I don't know about you. When I look at the national debt, when I look at the moral decay of our country, I look, you know, years ago, we never thought what things would be here. We never thought that. Amen. You never thought the education that would be taught in our local high schools or being taught. You know, it's amazing. I've been listening here recently about the apathy of America and how all of the major universities that used to, the original mottos was to train men and women for the gospel, to teach them to preach, to teach them to be good stewards of God's word. And nowadays, all those are secular. Want to keep God out, liberalism, all those things. So we're living in perilous times. And I want to show you what I feel like God has showed me the other day in prayer. And I really feel like God has showed this to me. So if you would, in Exodus chapter 11, and starting in verse 1, let's look at these verses. And let's just lay a setting for you real quick. Remember, this is coming into the 10th plague in Egypt, where God is going to set the children of Israel free from the grips of Pharaoh. You know the story of how, you know, the children of Israel have been in captivity and bondage for over 200 years. You know the story of Pharaoh and how Moses came to Egypt there, told Pharaoh. What was the famous phrase he told Pharaoh? Let my people go. Let them go, Pharaoh. You know, several times, I mean, that long discourse back and forth, you know, he'd go to Pharaoh, let my people go. I ain't going to let them go. You know, then at times he'd say, I will let them go. Then change his mind. You know that the 9 plagues have already been sent upon Egypt. And now this is coming to the 10th plague. And this is what it says. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move its tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all the wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out his land. Amen. I want to read verse 7 again. It's where my thoughts are coming from. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord doth put a what between the Egyptians and Israel? a difference. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning for a few moments, talk to you about the difference. Now, how many knows that the church has always been called to be different than the world? Amen. I could take you all throughout Scripture. I don't think I need to sit here and state a case today that the Lord's always intended and always has commanded that the church and that believers and that His people be separate and different than that of the world. Even though that we must live among them, and even though you must go to work with them, and even though you have family and different ones that we would consider that are unbelievers, I could take you several places in Scripture that it is the mind of God that we should be different than that of the world. Now, that isn't nothing to be debated. It's nothing to be voted on. And I'm sad today that we have to preach on it so much. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we are called to be different. Not the same. Not lumped in the same category. Look, they're just as good as we are. No, no, no. We are born again. We're called out. And we are to be different. Well, with that mindset today, the other morning I was praying about our country. I have been on the phone with several different ministers. And I have been praying and trying to miss a meal here and there. Trying to get my mind around the current status of our nation. What I need to do as a pastor, and what we need to do as ministers of the gospel, how we should go forward, what we should teach, what we should preach. And I was praying the other morning, and I was thinking even about the current events and the election, and I was wrestling in my spirit, and these verses came to mind. Now, the reason I think this is unique is why would the word difference come in my mind in prayer when I hadn't read Exodus chapter 11 in a long time, but I was praying, and my mind just went to these verses here. As I said, it was kind of unusual in prayer, and it's been a long time since I read this chapter, but the word, it wasn't so much a whole verse came to mind, but just one word came to mind, and that one word was the word difference. Now, we know what that word means, difference. It means different than the other things. It means something that is set apart, something that is not like the usual. And I look at that word difference there, and as it says in the Bible, as we read today in verse 7, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and between Israel. Now, the important thing about this is the setting of this. You would understand that the children of Israel, being in Egypt now for over 200 years, they are now, their mindset, the way that they think, everything about them has been affected over the last 200 years. Now, it was one thing. It talks about how Pharaoh, that king, came that did not know Joseph. But not only was there a king that came that did not know Joseph, but you also had Israelites that were born into Egypt that only have heard stories about Joseph, about Jacob, about the provision, and about all those things. All those things are past events to them. They don't know the present. Could you imagine being in Egypt at that time, and all you know is stories of how your great-grandmother or great-grandfather or maybe great-great, however far back they would have been, how many generations, and all you know is stories of how Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But then when you look around at your present circumstances, all you see is slavery and bondage and suffering. And you see all these things. All you see is the taskmasters and the slave drivers. That was their present vision. That's all that they knew. That's all. It had become a part of them so much. The Israelites have been in bondage for hundreds of years. They have a slave mentality as well as inheriting that Egyptian mentality. So here you find this blending. They think it's normal to get up every day and to be in bondage. They think it's normal every day for them to be told what to do, to go here, to make brick, to build this pyramid, of whatever nature of the work it was. Their thoughts of themselves have been deteriorated. They look at themselves as a captivated people. They look at themselves as a defeated people. They didn't see victory around them. They didn't recognize that there was there. And so, but not only did it affect the way they viewed themselves, but also living in that mentality also affects the way they view their God. Now, I want to caution you here today in this. We have lived in a society that even though we have great liberty and great freedoms to do things, we also live in a society where men and women are in bondage as well. There's a lot of men that don't know what it is to wake up and not struggle with lust. There's a lot of women that don't know what it is to wake up and not struggle with the fashions and the industries of the day because they feel like they got to dress a certain way, or look a certain way to be accepted in society. And there they become a slave to a system of whatever the new commercial demands. They've got to do that. There's always a change, always a rotation. They don't know what it is to live in liberty and freedom. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we are living in that day as well. There's been this blending. There's been this mixture. There's been this conglomeration of thoughts and mentalities. And it's inside the church as well. Just like the children of Israel did not cease to be the children of God in Egypt. I know there's some that went after idols. I'm not talking about those. There's also a slave mentality that must be defeated in the house of God. You are still the children of God. No matter what law is passed, no matter what Pharaoh does, no matter what statutes or things they're trying to bring against us, even in America. I can't help what happened last year. The fact that I know there's political things we don't even comprehend or see that are moving, decisions that are made behind closed doors. And if we're not careful, we feel like this weak minority of people that's just, look, we've got a little hole in this church. You know, we run 50, 60 people. Lord, we've got to hold on till you come. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we've got to get rid of that escapist slave mentality. I don't know about you. I'm not looking at this walk in my life as something that I'm defeated. Lord, I'm a slave to a system. You don't have to be a slave to a system. You can live above that system. So with this today, brothers and sisters, generations had been born in Egypt and that's all they knew. But the interesting thing about this is this, that the Bible says several times that there came a cry up to heaven and God told Moses, I hear the groanings, I hear the moanings, and I hear the prayer of my people in Egypt, Moses. I want you to go there and I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. You know what we need inside of our families? You know the mentality that we need inside the church is that when we're going out here to a dark world, that we're going there underneath the mentality, I've got a word from heaven and he told me to let you know one thing, devil, let my people go. Let my family go. Let my church go. Let my city go. Let it go, devil. You don't have the authority to keep the church in this narrow-mindedness anymore. We once again got to break out of that. He wants you, Israel. I know you don't see it quite yet, but God has intentions for you to drag you through a desert, to rain manna down from heaven, to make water come out of a rock, to show himself on a mountain, to open a Red Sea, to open a Jordan River. And even though you may be a slave today, years up the road, you're going to be walking around Jericho walls and you're going to be knocking down the enemy. 31 nations are going to be defeated. Church, hear me. I know today we're living in this slave mentality world, but we are not going to stay there. I believe from unction from heaven, I refuse for Abundant Life Tabernacle to stay there. I refuse to be in survival mode. I refuse for the pews to be empty. I refuse for the devil to have families. I speak to the devil and every principality of hell that would come against us. Let my people go. I've come here with a mandate. I've come here with a message. Let my brothers go. Let my church go. Let this sister go. I'm telling you, church, you've got a word from heaven to speak authority in the face of the devil. We look at this, and not only did God give him words to speak, but God acted. Aren't you ready for God to act? I'm telling you. It's easy to get frustrated. But I'm looking any moment, just like God sent those 10 plagues about Egypt. But Lord, if you have to send 10 plagues upon America, let my people go. I'm not looking to be comfortable. I'm not looking to stay in Goshen the rest of my life. I'm looking to go to a promised land. That's what we need in our lives. Moses, here in this verse, there's been 9 plagues. And Moses was to announce one more plague. A plague that would cause Pharaoh to free the people of Israel there. Now notice here in verse 11 and 1, it says, the Lord said unto Moses, yet I will bring one more plague upon Pharaoh. The Hebrew word there for plague means more than just a grievous or sorrowful event. The next plague is going to be a direct blow against Pharaoh. It's going to be an intentional shot. It's going to be something that was premeditated, something that was meant to cause damage to Pharaoh. It was going to be something that was going to make it negotiable. No, I tell you this,
Because God has the power to hit you where it hurts if you're living in sin. He has the power to bring a nation down to its knees. He has the ability to crumble kings right off top of their throne. He has the power to humble presidents. I'm telling you, we can be like clay in the hands of a potter. You cannot run from this God. He lets Moses know this next plague is going to be a strike. It's going to be a blow. The tenth plague was going to bring far more than just grief upon the Egyptians, but the plague would be launched by the strike and blow of God's own hand, the strike and the blow of His almighty power, and this strike and this blow against Egypt. In fact, it was going to be so great and so powerful. It says this, you're going to hear weeping and moaning and crying like they've never heard before, and they'll never hear it again. You can even look through some of the Egyptian writings, and they do talk of a night in Egypt where there was this evil, where there was the death of children. I'll tell you what it was. It was that night that God walked and sent that angel that walked the streets of Egypt there, and He began to kill the firstborn. You say, how harsh is that from God? It's not about the harshness. He had given them months and months and months, if not years, to repent. He gave Moses. He did plague after plague. When you look at the 10 plagues, they start off with something simple, and then they progress worse. And I'll tell you the same thing in the day we live. It may seem innocent yesterday, but if we keep on rejecting God, the plagues will get worse, the events will get worse, and that is not something Derek Jones has made up. That is the Bible. He tells the Israelites, look, I want you to go to your neighbors and start buying, borrowing gold and jewelry and silver. And people say, why did they do this? Well, I'll tell you this, they've been slaves for a long time. Egypt owed them some money. Amen. Egypt owed them some money for wages of forced labor. That's why we don't agree with slavery. We know every man is created in the image of God. God will never bless it. He wouldn't bless it in America, and He wouldn't bless it in Egypt. Hear me today, brothers and sisters. Here it is. He said, borrow of your neighbors. He said, look, go to your neighbors and get this thing. We know the story. That they provided for them. But there's two lessons that are clearly taught here that I want you to understand. Number one today is that there is a day when justice has to be executed. It's coming, brothers and sisters. Look, I'm not trying to be negative today on this point that I want something to happen. Who are you kidding? I live here. Come on now. I'm not one of those people that say, God, I hope you get them. God, I hope you get them. No, I'm crying out, oh God, show mercy on us as a people and as a nation. Because I know what happens to my neighbor. I know what happens to my family. It's also going to affect me. And even though I know I'm saved, there's going to be tears. There's going to be crying. There's going to be weeping in our lives one day when we pray, God, do whatever it takes. But we know that it's God having to do it. A day when the door of mercy and salvation is closed. And that day had arrived for Pharaoh and the people of Egypt there. The day is coming though, even in the day we live, that mercy and salvation will be closed to those. Therefore the Bible says in Jeremiah 11:11, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. We know that one day when God begins to judge this world, we know there's going to be people you know and people I know who's going to suffer from the consequences because they rejected Almighty God. There is a day, brothers and sisters, where mercy will expire for certain people. And the sad thing is, you know some of them and I know some of them. And we look at this world and understand. Another thing we need to point out is this. The day is coming when God will execute justice to believers. Not only against unbelievers. But notice, before they left Egypt, God allowed them to be blessed. He provided for them. And I would tell you and encourage you today, God will also provide for His church in the midst of judgment. As we go on today and look at this narrative in Scripture, there was a warning and a proclamation of judgment. Moses warned Pharaoh of the coming plague. You know what my job is to do as a preacher? It's to take this word and to warn people. Come on. We almost have gotten to this thing where we don't want to scare them away. And I understand you've got to use wisdom with judging people and letting them know. I know that. But I'm telling you, I cannot keep on going. that's going to come to a place that I've got to look at them as a watchman on the wall and out of love cry out, you've got to turn from your sins. You've got to turn away from it. I know you're comfortable and think it's all right now, but God will raise up Jeremiah's to cry out to a city, get right, because judgment is coming. And brothers and sisters, Moses warned Pharaoh of this coming plague. God Himself would execute the judgment about midnight. The Hebrew is emphatic and dramatic. It says this, I, the Lord, will go out. This is God's doing. I know we like to say, God, you're so loving and forgiving and merciful. Yes, that's true. But just as equally merciful as He is, equally as just He is as well. Both of those have to be merited. Both of those have to be married. And God will Himself. He lets Pharaoh know, I, the Lord, will go out. That word there means, I will march through Egypt. And no, right after midnight, He said, midnight is coming where I'm going to judge you. Church, hear me. And I know there's so much negative. And sometimes as a pastor, you want to know it's God when you get up here and talk about negative things all the time. When I'm talking about judgment. But I can't get away from it in prayer. I can't. It is there. And I try to navigate through my mind and say, Lord, certainly somebody will raise up. Something's going to change. Something here. I don't see how, apart from turning back to God. There's not a political agenda. There's nothing that can stop this. Yes, maybe they could slow it down. But it is coming. But we sit here this morning and great reality is, that's not a reality to everybody. I hate to say, but you know, we ain't always promised to go out and eat on Friday nights and have just a laid-back Saturday and come to church on Sundays, have a nice Sunday school and just go through the motions and go back, come, let's go out to eat and come back again, you know, work the week and come back Wednesday. That's nice, isn't it? Thank God for the blessings. You better take advantage of that. I don't know if it's going to be in my lifetime. I'll tell you this, I look at my daughter and I say, man, what will she face? What will she face? Man, when I was a kid, I didn't know what a homosexual was. Man, I wanted to build a fort out back. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to go play in the woods. I wanted a G.I. Joe. I'm talking the innocence of childhood. But the innocence of childhood now in our country, now they have transgender tools they're teaching in schools and all these things. And you know, I'm telling you, it's going to be more. There's judgment coming. Matter of fact, we're being judged. We're being judged. Well, America was founded. Yes, thank God for what America was founded on. But so was Israel. Is not Israel an example unto the nations of what happens if you reject the voice of God? If Israel was ripped into captivity, what makes think America's no greater than that? What I'm saying, I love America. I think there's men in this room that are in service. And I'll tell you, my hat's off across my chest. I weep. I love that flag. You show me a patriotic video. It just strums the chords of my heart. I love this nation. God help us. I know that. But also I fear for our children. Most of us are adults in here. And I believe most of you can stand. And I hope you're prepared for that. But what about your children? What about the exposure? What about the turmoil? What about the conflict? It is coming and it is here. It's not just going to get better. Do you know before Judah was captured that they thought things were going to get better? They even had preachers that came in and told Judah, you know, they had prophets, things will get better in 2 years. And you had Jeremiah the prophet looking at them and said, no, it's not. You're going into bondage. Listen to me. I've got a word from heaven. But in America, you've got a message from one church. It's going to get better. You've got another message for this church. It's not going to get better. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to pray and say, God, I can recognize the decay of a nation and we want to see you. We want revival. And God, if things get better, it'll be because we turn back to God. The judgment was going to bring a night of horror and terror. I look up the road and guess what? They're coming. The nights of terror are coming. I can't tell you. I couldn't. I would never set a date for anything. I would never do such a thing, but I'll tell you this. All the firstborn among men and animals were to die. All during that one night. All somewhere between midnight and daybreak. The judgment was going to fall upon the firstborn, the son of Pharaoh, as well as the slave girl. There's going to be judgment coming. The firstborn are going to die. God warns, judgment is coming. There will be no escape unless you turn to Him. I'm telling you, that not only was a message to Egypt, but it was a message to Israel as well. Hear me. There's a message to this world. Judgment's coming. But church, you better perk up your ears. Because you live in the world that's going to be judged. And is being judged. You live here. We think of this and must understand. If we're all going to go through the judgment, if we're all going to be faced with persecution in some sense, in some form, whatever that may be, and you know as well as what we believe in eschatology, but this is the fact. I don't know. There's people in China right now dying for the gospel. There's people dying right now in North Korea for the gospel. There's folks right now on foreign soil such as Iran and predominantly Muslim countries that today their children will be killed. Their wives will be murdered. They'll be put in prison. Well, as we speak and live in this room today, sitting in this room today and go to our homes and we live in comfort at this moment, Christians are dying right now. Oh, but we're America. We're invincible. I'm not saying you're going to have to die. But I will tell you this. It's coming. Whatever that something is, only God knows. But He's preparing us for it. Now notice this, that there was a purpose for the judgment. How many knows God has purpose when He does something? God's not like a human that just, you know, goes off on my ideas sometimes and say, well, let's see what the results are. Hopefully it'll work out to my favor. No, when God does something, it's always decisive. It's always calculated. He knows. He sees. He has purpose. Notice this, the difference. What the purpose of the judgment was. Three purposes are given for this particular plague. Purpose number one. To prove that God is the God of true believers. That is the purpose number one. He protected His people. God's protection was to be so strong that not even a dog would bark, much less growl, at a believer during that night of judgment. I tell you this, when things begin to crumble, if you it's going to find out what you're made of. I believe it's going to weed out some of this lukewarmness. I believe it'll cause you to straighten up, or it'll cause you to get out. It'll cause you to stand up and proclaim the Word, or you're going to melt like chocolate in a fire. You're going to find out what you're made of. I believe in the coming judgment and in the situations of our day. It's going to show a difference. The world will be able to see the difference between the life of the believer and the life of this unbeliever. Now hear me. That difference is needed in the day that we live in. You know, Pharaoh thought he owned the Israelites. Oh, they're mine. God came in and said, no, Pharaoh, they're mine. Do you know the government thinks they own a lot of us? Come on. Who knows, one day up the road, they may come knocking on the door, get a phone call. Look, we're going to lift your tax exempt status. I know how much you love that thing. And, you know, if you don't quit preaching against this, Brother Derek, or if your church don't change their bylaws, we're going to change this system. You know what we got to do? Look, you don't owe me. God does. You see what I'm saying? Look, we got to do this. No, look, I want to let you know something. I may be in Egypt right now, this world. I may live here. And I know, look, you control a lot of things, Pharaoh. But look, I'm telling you, I would like to think in my mind, there were some elders there in Israel that every now and then would point their finger to Pharaoh's palace. Look, I'm a child of God, regardless of what Pharaoh says. So understand, it's going to bring a separation. God Himself, during this judgment, God's people were going to experience the peace and the tranquility of God during this judgment. Purpose number two, to stir Egypt, aka the world, to know one simple fact, there is a difference between unbelievers and believers. God Himself had made a distinction between Egypt and Israel, between unbelievers and believers. Unbelievers do not follow God. They turn away from God. But the children of Israel, here's the instruction. You obey the instruction. You are going to make it through the night of judgment. You hear me? You're going to make it. Purpose number three. To force Egypt to free God's people. I'd love for the church to get back to a place where it's so powerful that the world just wants to leave us alone. Come on. You know what happened to Pharaoh eventually after this plague? He looked at the children of Israel and said, look, Moses, I want you to get them women. You get those snotty-nosed children. I want you to get your cows. I want you to get your sheep. I want you to get your carts. I want you to get your clothes. I want you to get out of Egypt and leave us alone. Because if you don't leave, something's going to happen. It's driving us crazy. I'd love for the world once again to look at that church and fear it. Come on. Look, you know, if you don't believe that, you need to take a history lesson. And I ain't telling you to go grab some secular book. I want you to do some real study and figure out what the church was in America when it all started. They feared the church. There was something when you got a congregation, even this size, you got us praying in the city of Hampton, you'd be surprised. When we're touching heaven and heaven's answering prayers, you'd be surprised when they would come to us, ask us favors, and avoid us in other areas. That's what we need once again. Notice this. Moses left his presence. He was frustrated. The plague came. This is the conclusion to the 10 plagues. There are several facts to keep in mind. Fact number one, why did God's judgment fall upon Egypt? Why was it necessary for Pharaoh and the Egyptians to suffer the judgment of God? Because Pharaoh and the Egyptians would not listen to God's call to repentance and listen to His call of obedience. So we say, number one, why would God judge us? Why would God judge anybody? When you reject the call of God, there is repercussions for doing so. Right now in our nation, we have more radio broadcasts, more TV programs, more Bibles. I'm talking Christian oriented. More information. And for a man and woman to look at all the information we have and say, I don't care about that germ. It ain't nothing to me. I'm telling you, you're rejecting the voice of God, and there's going to be eternal repercussions if you don't say yes to Jesus eventually. I say there's repercussions now if you don't. Also, the second fact, God's purpose for the plagues of judgment was to make His power known. As just pointed out, the Egyptians were sinful and evil people. They worshipped false idols and religions, and they brutalized and enslaved people. Yet God wanted them to know, look, I'm God, I'm powerful, and everything you worship is nothing. Fact number three, God's servants were faithful. Moses and Aaron obeyed God. And God moved on behalf of Israel. You know what God's looking for us today here in Abundant Life Tabernacle? To be obedient. He's looking for you to be Spirit-led and to be obedient. And as we come to a close today in just a moment, I will say this, and I'm going to reiterate a few things that you already know. God is going to judge the world. Anybody understand that? Statistically, if we could get this reality in our minds, there may be someone here today that's here during some of that judgment. And if you know that, we know there's going to be eternal judgment. God will call all those that call upon Him, save all those that call upon Him. But we have to understand, the night of difference is coming. It has to start sometime. You know, when I look at this Bible, I won't be much longer. And I read of all the futuristic events, and I read of the eschatology and the rapture, and I read of the judgment and the tribulation. And I think to myself, you know, I've heard people say my whole lifetime, well, that's, you know, it could happen today, it could happen today, the imminence. I could look at you today and say this, it's got to happen sometime. It's got to happen sometime. It may happen with you. It may happen with your children or your grandchildren. But I feel in my spirit an urgency to warn us that we need to pray. And let God help us. We look at that, the instructions that are given in chapter 12. I would encourage you to read on your own time. I want you to take a lamb, Moses. I want you to take his blood. And I want you to put it on the doorpost. You know the story. You put the blood. They would take the blood with hyssop, which was a branch. And they would wipe the blood on this side of the door, on this side of the door, and on the top of the door. Which is really, I like to look at it as a picture of the cross, the way you can make it. You know, you look at the door, on the blood of the lamb on the doorpost there. And when that angel of death would come by, if you would call it, God Himself would come by. And He would see that blood upon the door. He would pass over it. You can live. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you need to be washed in the blood of Jesus. And you can endure the Holy Ghost wants to understand the importance of the day that we're living in. I was praying, as I've already said several times, the other morning. And I got to praying for Chloe and little Braxton. And I got thinking about some of the young ones in the church. And older one, I know we got some older ones here. I appreciate the older ones that have stood for the faith over the year. God bless you. But I even knew, I'm sure you have a burden for the younger generations. This song from years ago, I don't know if you ever heard it. I'm going to read it to you.
It's called "The Blood Is Still There." Very famous years ago, the Willis family or somebody sang it. But then I'm going to read the words to you, and I thought about my little girl when I was reading these words. And I want to encourage her, no matter what's going on, we can make it. The song goes like this. And the setting is the night that the 10th plague came on Egypt. One dark night in Egypt, a fearful time had come for one little Hebrew boy who was his father's firstborn son. Now with the angel of death passing low, it was hard to fall asleep. But one little lamb stood in his mind as he lay there counting sheep. He wondered why the lamb had to die, why his blood was on the door. Though the wind and rain it still had remained, but he wanted to be for sure. So he called out to his earthly father with a trembling voice so scared, crying, "Father, will you please look and see if the blood is still there?" It goes on to say, the father responds to the son. He said, "Son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The wind may blow and the rain may fall, but it won't just wash away. The blood will stand the raging storm. It's been applied with loving care. Safe, secured, you can rest assured that the blood is there to stay." Brothers and sisters, my encouragement to you is this. I cannot promise you anything about this future. I can promise you a lot of things, actually. But I can't promise you, look, everything's, you're going to be able to have two cars all the time. You'll always be able to have a garage. You'll always be able to have a nice home. You'll be able to go and do everything you want to do. But I'll tell you this, the blood will always be there. And you can stand. We need to instill this in our children. That in the world, I don't know if we see the seriousness of it. That in a world that I've got to explain to my little girl, little son, little Willen, look, you know, you're a boy and you're a girl. And look, when you go out in this world, you're going to see things that are wicked and horrific. You know, I've got to explain to them this. Look, if everything else is falling around you, the blood is there to stay. Stand to your feet all over this church. Stand to your feet. The blood.